May I speak to you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul Assay writes in an essay overnight in the Washington Post entitled The Batman Tale, "The Aurora Shooting Reflects a Deeper Morality." Of all the words that can be used to describe the Aurora shooting, senseless may be the worst word of all, particularly for those of us who call ourselves Christian. We claim to worship a good, just, and all-powerful God, a God who loves us with a passion as broad as the universe itself. We are his children, we say. And God wouldn't let any harm come to his children, would he? And the question hangs in the air, waiting and pleading for an answer. It's sadly appropriate that the perpetrator, Holmes, took on the Joker's persona. He, among all of Batman's arch-villains, offers the worst possible answer to that hanging question. God, he chirps, brushing a hand through his caterpillar green hair. How quaint. How precious. There is no God. There is no meaning. There is no reason in this cold, dark place. The only truth is that there is no truth. The most frightening thing to me, besides that fear that there is no meaning to be found in any of this, is that these kinds of shootings are becoming commonplace. We know how this story will play out in the media. There'll be shock, there'll be horror. People will look for someone to blame. They'll call for the government to take action to fix this thing. And in about 2 weeks, we'll turn to whatever's next, and we'll wait for the next one to come. That's what happened after Columbine, really. That's what happened after the shootings in Lancaster. That's what happened after the shootings in Tucson. That's what happened after the shootings in Oslo. That's what happened after the bombings in London. We don't even note anymore the fact that those kinds of shootings, those kinds of people gone amok in our lives, are really relatively small against the backdrop of everyday violence. How many children have been killed in Chicago so far this year? War is breaking out again in the South Sudan. And we watch with horror as the civil war in Syria spreads and the regime attempts to impose its will by destroying the poor and the powerless. We live in a world where horror is becoming commonplace, and we almost cynically know how the story will play itself out as we wait for the next mass murder, the next tragedy. And we wonder, is there meaning? Can we make sense? What are we to think? We who feel ourselves as victims of all of these shootings, and we who in complicated and difficult ways to get our hearts wrapped around participate in allowing them to happen. We are like sheep without a shepherd. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to think. We don't know how to act, and we certainly don't know how to make sense of what is going out and going on around us. We're not that much unlike the people who found this miracle worker on one of the shores of the Sea of Galilee, healing, restoring, teaching. And when that miracle worker decided to go away for a time of quiet with his closest followers, as we see him sailing off across the lake, we run around the outside of the lake because we can't let him get away. We're seeking meaning. We're seeking sense. We believe that justice exists, and we're hoping he will show us where it comes from and how we can make it happen. And Jesus sees us like he saw the crowd that rushed to follow him. And his heart goes out to us. And he has compassion on us. And he turns aside from his desire to be alone. And he teaches. And he heals. And he feeds. We do need a shepherd. We cry out for someone to make sense of all of this. And we want this to happen now. Because the Joker's question terrifies us. What if there is no meaning? What if there is no sense? What if we're just whistling in the dark? That, to me, is the nightmare that I think all of us have to confront as people who live in the world today, as people who live in the world at any time in history. Because while we think of our time as being particularly violent or particularly frightening, if you talk to a historian, it's not really. We just have new ways of hearing of these tragedies so that wherever they happen in the world, they wash over us one after another. But Jesus did come to us. And Jesus did have compassion on us. And Jesus did teach us. And Jesus did feed us. And Jesus does heal us. But now, you and I have to respond. A Presbyterian minister named Fred Rogers from Pittsburgh, you know him probably as Mr. Rogers of the TV show, was asked by a couple of parents a long time ago when one of these tragedies happened, how do they explain this to their children? And Mr. Rogers said, "My mother told me, when something bad happens on TV and I'm frightened, I shouldn't look at the victims. I should look at the helpers. Don't look at the pain. Look at the response. Look at the people streaming to the place where this violence has happened. Look at the people who are trying to do what they can to stop the floods. Look at the people who are trying to respond in love, with justice. Look at the people whose hearts are broken, who are crying and pleading that God would make this right. Because when you look there, you begin to have hope, if not sense." It is startling that it is this particular passage of Mark in which the Apostle Mark uses the term apostle the one and only time he does in his entire gospel. Up to this point, the 12 close followers of Jesus and the 72 who have been surrounding him have been called the disciples. And the disciples came to Jesus, and Jesus sends the disciples out. But in the beginning of this passage, Mark specifically says to them, the apostles have come back. And in just a little bit, and something we skip over in this week's lectionary, Jesus is going to turn to the apostles and say, the people are hungry. And the apostles are going to say, this is a lonely place. There is no food here. And Jesus is going to turn to them and say, you give them something to eat. Because you're apostles. You are my ambassadors. You are the people I am sending forth. Jesus is for us the icon of God. If we want to know what God is like, if we want to know who God is, we look at Jesus. It is the lens through which we understand the Bible. It is the lens through which we understand creation. It is the lens through which we understand our own lives. And you and I, as called apostles of Jesus Christ, are the icons of Jesus in the world. You and I are sent forth from this place to be the helpers. The helpers that the children are supposed to focus their attention upon rather than the pain and the violence that frightens them. I wish I had a way to make it make sense. I wish that for myself, and I wish I was eloquent enough to make that true for you. But any real answer is going to be partial. These are the kinds of things that humans have beaten themselves against a wall about for millennia. But we know that God loves us. We know that God has taught us the words of life. We know what we're to do. We're to love one another. We're to turn the other cheek. We're to serve one another as servants, just as Jesus served us. And we know we are sent. And we know we are to go out into the world. We are to be the people who teach the sheep who do not have a shepherd that they do. And the words of life have come. And there is food enough for all. I don't know what to think, but I know what we are to do. We are to be the people who run in while others flee. We are to be the people who respond in love, who bind up the broken, who dream that this will not happen again, even as we fear it will, who live our lives trusting that God is at work in the world, so that the people around us who are losing heart can see us as ambassadors, as apostles, as the helpers that the children need to see. I don't know what to think, but I know what we are to do, because we are like sheep without a shepherd, and yet the shepherd has come, and the flock is growing, and the world is being redeemed out of the darkness and into the light. Amen.